Welcome to the podcast, Senses of the Soul. I'm Dr. Neil Lundgren. During my first year as a novice monk in the North Country of Minnesota, the monastery's grad school had imported a promising scholar from Oxford University. This woman was not the typical academic. Only 2 weeks into the semester, she had already introduced a handful of students, that included a small group of monks, to the practice of meditation. A saintly hermit from Russia had initiated her into the silent prayer of the heart. This practice involved the focus of the mind upon the heart by aligning the breath with the soundless repetition of the name of Christ. I didn't know at that time, but years later learned that it is customary in India to call the sincere concentration on the name of an enlightened master, Guru Yoga. Intuiting her spiritual gifts, the Russian starets, which means bearer of light, instructed her to forsake a successful career in the high fashion industry in Italy and to embark on the path of the scholar mystic. Usually, rookie monks weren't allowed to venture from the cloister unless accompanied by a seasoned monk. But the novice master informed his novices that they were to attend a theology conference on campus that day. Contributors hailed from long distances to give talks in their field, dressed in the typical black formal academic attire. The auburn-haired, blue-eyed female professor, adorned in a brightly colored Indian sari, stood out like some exotic bird landed on the moon as she walked up to the microphone and said, "Ideas or words, postures or techniques alone do not satisfy the hunger of the soul," she said. The graceful movements of her hands and measured tone of her voice communicated the essence of her message as she continued. "The senses of the soul must be aroused before a person can gain access to their true identity," she continued. "Memories of its true home beckon the soul long before the traits of personality make their imprints upon it." When I think back upon these highly charged words of wisdom spoke long ago, from the perspective of my 26 years of mentoring clients searching for their soul, I realize that indeed, we are all spirits having one heaven and one hell of a personality experience. From the moment we begin to put two and two together, what we think are our own thoughts, we come to find out later in life that much or most of them were greatly influenced by inherited ideas and trends. They guide each of us from childhood, whether we're conscious of them or not. One notion that lurks around in the collective psyche holds that when the brain matures and one has reached a stage of psychological maturity, that such an intangible thing as soul or spirit should fade into the distance, like a child's rhyme. Yet day after day, clients still come to my door to ask the two big life questions: who am I and why am I here? If it were just a matter of looking into the mirror or grabbing a clod of dirt from the ground, wouldn't all of us have answered those questions by now? As my mind drifts back again to that day, to that monastery auditorium, when a moment of timelessness seemed to fill the room, I recall a powerful nugget from that sage scholar and can hear her voice ringing in my soul right now, saying this: "Only when the mind and heart link themselves together will they discover the source of their existence." This connection is activated through mindful breathing into the heart and through the cultivation of longing and awe. These two senses of the soul hold the key to our true identity. Other invisible organs, that is, subtle senses exist. To find them, we must befriend the darkness of longing in order to attain the light of infinite love. Let us trust that all we have forgotten about our true natures, each of us will one night remember. This still haunts me. Why did she say one night and not one day we will remember? I asked myself that for the longest time. And as the years passed, I learned many more things from this teacher and received more threads of light whenever I befriended the darkness, and in that darkness gradually began to perceive with the senses of my soul. The first time we fall in love, heartache flies in with ecstasy, its other wing. Because it possesses the power to slay and destroy, we both fear and welcome love. The moment love arrives, we know something magnificent has driven a stake in our being. Yet we can't control the lifeline of love or the different shapes it takes. Only love's longing is ours to keep, as are all the nights when we have slept alone. Again and again, and still again, we must let go of our loves, small and great, if we are to unfold love's greater mystery and the profound role it plays in the destiny of each soul. The spiritual sense of heartache dwells beneath love's hide-and-seek motion. Desire behaves like the appearance and disappearance of the sun and the moon and the rise and fall of the ocean. Heartache expands rather than narrows the borders of the courageous heart. To understand the secret of this divine play of presence and absence is perhaps to decode at least a small portion of the paradoxical language of the gods. What about this second sense of the soul? Awe. The profound feeling of wonder was natural to us when we were children, but after receiving a few of the wounds the world has to give us, this sense of wonder can only dawn once again in us when we begin to see clearly with the eyes of the soul. Beauty resides both within and beyond creation. Over time, the sense of awe produces a natural humility and reverence for our walks upon this sacred earth. The Jewish mystic Rabbi Joshua Heschel once penned, "Who lit this wonder before my eyes? Who struck the lightning in my mind?" Wonder leads me on a path of soulful seeing, touching, smelling, tasting, and hearing. I am continually amazed when I stand under this vast umbrella of tree, mountain, sky, and star with the expansive senses of my soul. This leads me to mention a third organ of the soul. If I cultivate courage in my day-to-day life in the face of my fears, I can grow to accept all situations, everything, all that is given to me, and all that is taken. This welcome of all circumstances, whether joyful or painful, is the hallmark of a seasoned traveler in training. The soul cannot journey far unless another important fuel source is discovered, the spiritual sense of enthusiasm. The word enthusiasm has Greek roots. En theos literally means in the energy field of the divine. False hope, magical thinking, and naive belief are counterfeit notions of enthusiasm. These are not the real articles, but eagerness toward life allows for the flow of zest to balance any situations of challenge. Trials arise throughout our many journeys upon this earth. meeting them with liveliness lessens their sting. Liveliness is the moonlight that steadies our step through the snow-laden forest in winter and through the lush dark trails in the heat of summer. With longing, awe, courage, and enthusiasm as our companions and guides, another sense of the soul is tapped, attunement, or what we might call harmony. Attunement works in two directions, much like the soul, toward transcendence, the up-and-out experiences, and embodiment, which are the down-and-in experiences of our spirits becoming enfleshed. The soul slows down its vibration in order to enter and to dwell in a person, in its mind, in its heart, and in its body. Likewise, the individual as an embodied soul must work to raise its vibration to more consciously align with the frequency of the soul. This can be accomplished through the use of mantras, toning ancient vowel sounds, which are roots of all language, and by simply using affirmations. Anything that says a gigantic big yes to what is happening right here and right now. My sense is that when we think our egos are being led in the direction of our soul with the thought, I'm only meditating or praying for what I can get out of this, it might just be our soul, our individual consciousness, who is implanting this very thought as a way of getting our attention on the right track. When the soul reveals itself to the human brain, it begins its most challenging friendship. At some point in the birth process, an unearthly roommate greets a young brain, along with its inherited positive and negative traits. It's like this. A visitor from far away has chosen to temporarily dwell in its body to undergo the human experience. Individualized consciousness establishes a thread of connection between where it has come from and its body, which has a limited ego awareness. When the little me can't see the path ahead, it might be because of the huge tree I happen to have my nose pressed up against. But thanks to the soul, through its subtle tunings, it gently but firmly convinces the personality that its existence is important, vital, and necessary, and that love is its reason for being, and that love will make everything worth it. Both the soul and its earthly companion, the ego, are here to learn qualities of character from the inmost teacher. This inmost teacher, called by a variety of names in the religions of East and West, is the Lord within the self. The word in the Indian language of Sanskrit, Ishvara, is loaded with significance. This image suggests that every soul, whether a beginner or advanced, is sent to earth on a mission to acquire interior skills, and its teacher is within. During a lifetime, the soul moves ever closer to its body, and the body moves ever closer to the soul. The senses of the soul are what construct the invisible bridge between infinite consciousness and body awareness. Our life will be met with endless frustration and emptiness unless we develop and strengthen the soul's organs of heartache, awe, courage, enthusiasm, and attunement. All of these senses operate best during the dark times of our lives, whether it be day or night. Our felt nights, our vulnerable nights of deep emotion that create a vulnerability in us, can be long and often hard, fraught with fear and trembling. So how does one stay motivated? Any mindfulness practice that engages the heart, the mind, the body, and the soul will do just fine. To partake of the joys and the sorrows of this world is an expedition full of adventure. The earth is a training field for the pilgrim, whose roots lie elsewhere than in the soil of this splendid yet terrible planet of lights and shadows. I would like to end with a poem from a modern living poet of the soul. His name is David White, and the poem I want to put in this piece, this podcast of the senses of the soul, is called Sweet Darkness. He writes, "When your eyes are tired, the world is tired also. When your vision has gone, no part of the world can find you. Time to go into the dark, where the night has eyes to recognize its own. There, you can be sure you are not beyond love. The dark will be your womb tonight, and the night will give you a horizon further than you can see. You must learn one thing. The world was made to be free in. Give up all the other worlds, except the one to which you belong. Sometimes it takes darkness and the sweet confinement of your aloneness to learn that anything or anyone that does not bring you alive is too small for you." Thank you for listening to The Senses of the Soul.